We asked the people who are going to report, we asked them to give us 2 minutes of a very practical lesson that they learned. The idea is not for you to hear all the sermons all over again and again, but to hear how God used that weekend and used it in their lives to do something practical in their life. And so that's what we're hoping to hear. And what we're going to do is, Casey, we'll begin with you, and we'll just go right down the line. And at the end, our brother Colin is going to wrap up and tell us exactly what Steve Woodman, the pastor at Kemp Road Baptist Church, brought to those folks, and hopefully it'll be for our encouragement as well. Casey.
Good afternoon. This is more formal than I expected. I didn't think I would have a podium here, but this is good. Thank you all for your prayers. We really appreciated prayers, and God answered above and beyond what we had asked for. And so we're really thankful to you for praying and to God for answering. Thank you also for donating so much food. What a huge help that was. And Pam and Linda took it and made all sorts of awesome things out of it. So thank you so much for that. And thank you to Pam and Linda for helping and for making wonderful food. Okay, so my kind of practical lesson. I've heard before, and I've read a John Piper book about it, but about sin, every sin relating back to unbelief. And so I'm kind of familiar with kind of looking at sin that I see in my life and thinking, like, what am I not believing that God says is true? But Pastor Woodman talked about idolatry, and he kind of talked about how every sin can relate back to idolatry too. So that was something new that I understood. And so that was a really good lesson. We're not only not believing God, but we're not seeing him or treating him as God. We're putting something else above him. And so that was helping me. It helped. He gave us like a list of questions that kind of would churn your mind and make you identify idols in your life. And so things like, what do you see as your rights? Or what can you not be happy without? And so asking ourselves those questions really helped us to identify idols, but then not just try and do a moral fix in our lives to get rid of sin, but identifying the underlying issue of there's an idol here and it needs to be rooted out. So I thought the practical lesson that I kind of took away was rooting out sin and identifying what is the idol here that needs to be rooted out. So thank you again for your prayers and for your support.
CTA was connecting to advance, connecting with God, his word, and each other to advance Christ, the gospel, and his church. And I think the practical blessing that I came away with was the pleasure, the rest, the peace that we are able to have in doing something like this advance as a church, as a body of believers, and that it wasn't up to one individual to do it all. And that became very important, especially for Carol and me, as the planning for this started months ago. And some events that came to pass later on we didn't know would come to pass, which would mean we would not be able to be there at the advance that we were helping the others plan so much. And so the blessing was that when it came time for us not to be there, that there were others that were still serving, and it could go on. And the peace part for us was that we knew it would continue to go on. God gave us a real confidence and trust that, hey, there are other people here, believers, who have joined together to carry this off. And that's what really stood out. There were young people in charge of all the activities, another in charge of emceeing, make sure it goes, others in charge of the registration, welcoming people there, others involved in the food. Someone was involved in getting the speaker from Ohio to Indiana. Another person was in charge, or Michigan. Another person was in charge of picking that person up at the airport and getting him to the campgrounds. And then there were a number of you involved in providing food. And so really what our theme was accomplished through the labors of so many members of the body of Christ contributing, doing their part with the strengths and abilities that God gave them to use. They were willing to use them. They did. And his glory was accomplished as we've received back some of the surveys from participants, so many comments about the blessings they received from the teaching, from the fellowship, from connecting with each other. So connecting to advance God, the gospel, and his church really was accomplished through the church coming together. So we give thanks for that and thanks to God for his design of the body of Christ.
I also would like to reiterate what Casey said. Thank you guys so much for your prayers. They were answered in ways that we never really expected, which is kind of sad for, I guess, the faith side of, at least for me personally. But another thing that I want to say, I mean, all the glory goes to God, as it should. But one thing that I would like to also point out is Roger and Carol's work. They really put a lot of time and effort into this, and it really paid off. That was one of God's tools for sure. Because even when this, when their unexpected plans did come up, we carried on. But it was, he, as Roger said, he was thankful for us carrying on. But they really made it easy. I mean, everything there was pretty much all done and set forth, and the plan was there. We just had to carry it out. And we thank God for his blessing, too, because even if you have a perfect plan where you have everything, laid out to the minute of every day, it's his blessing that really put it together. And it went extremely well, very much so. So I thank you guys for your prayers, and we're thankful to God for his blessing of the whole weekend. One of the things I was asked to share is something that stuck out to me from Pastor Steve Woodman's messages, and I think the one thing that hit me the most actually has to do with planning. On Saturday morning, he talked about idol hunting, figuring out how to find idols in your life. And, usually I've always, it's always something that you think about, that you talk about, stuff like that, that is true and that everybody knows. But one thing I never really thought about was, it was number four, what are my plans designed to accomplish? Was one thing that really struck out to me to find idols. How do you plan your week is basically what Pastor Steve said. I mean, Sunday, we usually have Sunday set aside as the Lord's Day, as it should be. But how does it plan out the rest of the week? I mean, do you plan on doing, your plans on Monday or your plans on Friday? Could that affect your plans for Sunday? I mean, it was something that really struck out to me as far as a way to find idols is how you use your time during your work week. And that was something that really struck out to me. There was another one as well that I think Casey kind of hit on a little bit, was where do you find your identity? A lot of us, I think we can get caught up in that, as well as just, if somebody asks you that question, where's your identity on Sunday? On Wednesday, during halfway through the week, would you have the same answer as that you gave him on Sunday? Was something else that he really struck out, or that he presented to us that I thought was really good. So those are just a couple of the things. I'll leave it up to the rest of the guys to share some more. And once again, I would like to thank you for your efforts, for you guys' prayers, and for the time. And it was wonderful. I loved it, and hopefully we can do it again next year and for all the years in the future. So thank you.
Hello, everyone. I also would like to thank you for your prayers. We had a lot of fun while we were there and truly did learn a lot from Pastor Steve. For me, what I really took out from what he talked about was a specific question about the idolatry session. Me and the group of girls I was rooming with went back, and we really focused on a question that all of us, it kind of stuck out to, was how do you spend your time?
And we kind of extended that question a little bit because all of us were either working or going to school still. And we took it a little further and said, how's your attitude towards, you know, whatever you're doing in work or at school? And sometimes, you know, you can get, you know, frustrated at work or anything. And one of the girls said, well, it's by God's grace you have these opportunities and are given this job. And really we should be going forward and using it to God's glory and focusing on God's glory instead of, oh, me, me, me. It should be, oh, I should be doing this for God and showing others through your work or through your school what God's doing in your life. And that's really one thing I've been trying to focus on is what God has given me in my life. And also, I will like to mention, because everyone has said that I should, never trust canoes. They sink.
Good afternoon. I want to, again, like as everyone else has, thank you for the prayers. Thank you for all the hard work that goes on behind the scenes that made this event possible. And we were definitely blessed. We were blessed with safety on the way there, on the way home. Good fellowship, challenging speaking, challenging message by Pastor Woodman. And I wanted to start off by saying Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And one of the things that stuck out to me and has been stated by others is that he challenged us to be idle hunters and to look at the ways, different ways that things in our lives can become idols, because they're basically God replacements. It's putting something in front of God. And not everything that becomes an idol in our heart is inherently evil. It's when it becomes greater than God. And that he challenged us with there was a series of questions to make us challenge and dig deep and find not only what are the idols in my heart now, but also seek to find out what is becoming or could become an idol. That gets back to guarding our heart, guarding ourselves against what could be growing in my life that's going to take the place of God. It's going to rob God of his glory, and it's going to distract me from honoring him. And that was one of the things that really stuck out to me, to just keep diligent on that. And again, I want to do want to thank you all for your prayers. It was, we definitely felt God's blessing in our time, and I want to thank you all for supporting us. Thank you.
Well, like they've said, God works through prayers, and you could definitely see that, like, you guys were praying and that he was blessing that and answering that, and so thank you for that and just for any of you who gave food or supplies. And it was just a really encouraging weekend to be around and be able to worship with people your own age, and you're all, like, going toward the same goal. That was just, like, a breath of fresh air. So I really enjoyed that. And then, like they've said, he focused a lot on idols. He gave us a list of questions to focus on, and the one that stuck out most to me was your thought life. What do you spend the most time thinking about when you're going to bed at night? What's consuming your thoughts when you're lying there and you can't sleep? And he just really encouraged us to take every thought captive for Christ. And I liked that when you find those thoughts and you identify that, oh, this is an idol in my life, replace it with thoughts of Christ, the cross, and adoption, and that he was willing to die for me, and just delight in him. And he put those kind of on a teeter-totter. So as your thoughts of God go up, your thoughts of idols go down, and you see those decreasing the more you're delighting in God. So, yeah, that was just really practical and encouraging to me, and I just appreciated how he gave us those thoughts, and we could take them home and start identifying those idols and changing our thought life. So thank you.
Well, being the last speaker, I get to repeat everything that's already been said and try to make it sound original. So just thank you for your prayers so much. It was really a blessing. I might have put on a couple pounds from Linda's cheesy potatoes. It was really good time. The campsite was beautiful. It was just really a blessing. That's just fun for the kids and just to enjoy that. And got to do some canoeing and hiking games and stuff, so that was just really fun. I really enjoyed being around young believers, which you don't have an abundance of in the church here, so that was really encouraging to me to be around people my age and to fellowship with them. I think it's something where it's like an immediate bond because you're all striving for the same goal and just like pushing each other, and like in the grand scheme of things, we're all heading to the same place, so we should be encouraging each other along that walk. What Steve Woodman said that really struck me was just my time. I think that I use my time decently, but I'm unwilling to share my time. And I think that being at these retreats and at different conferences I've been to, it's easy to be to be serving other people with a good attitude because everyone's doing it. And it's just, it's a good environment to be around. But when I get back home and I'm just by myself and doing stuff that I want to do, it's really hard for me to like willingly go out and do something for other people. So I think that was something that really struck me, was to just be humble with my time. So yeah, that would be my prayer request, is that I would be a servant with a joyful heart, just in the everyday things, whether it's at work or just at home and stuff. So yeah, just thank you so much.
Now I got to make everything sound original again for the next 10 minutes. So, but I hope that you have seen that we were encouraged and challenged and grateful for how God worked and for just the blessings of the weekend. It was a really wonderful time, and Pastor Steve Woodman really did bring three wonderful sermons. So the hope in this just a couple few minutes here is just to be able to give you kind of a summary of the sermons that he preached. So we'll kind of just go back through a few of the passages that he went through and hopefully give you an idea even of just what that looked like for what we were challenged with and what they all walked away with and what I walked away with, and hopefully maybe you can walk away with also. So there were three sermons, two on Saturday, one on Sunday. The theme of the weekend overall was distractions. And we were trying to get at the idea of who or what in our lives is diverting our attention away from what truly matters, ultimately being God in the pursuit of holiness. And Pastor Steve defined distractions as anything that sidetracks us or diverts our attention in a way that is dangerous or even deadly. So this doesn't mean that whatever is distracting us is necessarily sinful in and of itself, as I think Mike even said, but because it is distracting us in a way that is dangerous or even deadly, it becomes sinful. Because it has superseded the place that only God should hold, it becomes sinful. So in the first sermon, Pastor Steve took us to Philippians 1, 9 to 11. So if you'd like to turn there, I thought we could read those verses. It's Philippians 1, 9 to 11. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. And Pastor Steve broke these verses down into three kind of sections, or three even requests. And the three requests were this: that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment, that you may approve what is excellent, and that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. All three of these points centered around the idea of discernment. As we become more discerning, our love for God and for others abounds, and that will result in us being pure and blameless in the day of Christ. And so what we really need to answer is, what is discernment? Pastor Steve defined it as this: an intelligent understanding of moral issues combined with insight and experience. In essence, he said, it's the ability to distinguish good from bad, or even maybe more importantly, the ability to distinguish the important from the unimportant, or the good from the best.
And that was really important, was distinguishing the good from the best. And we'll get more into that soon, but I can give you even an example of that. He took us to the story of Mary and Martha in Luke 10. Jesus, as most of us, I think, know, came over to their home for dinner, and Mary sat at his feet, listening to his teaching. But Martha was busy in the kitchen. Luke says that she was literally distracted with much serving. And when she asked Jesus to tell Mary to help her, Jesus gently but firmly rebukes her, saying, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." And so Martha, in hosting Jesus in her home and in seeking to serve him, was not doing anything inherently bad. It was a good thing what she was doing in seeking to be a good hostess, but her preparations had become a distraction. The good had become a distraction from the best being sitting at Jesus' feet as Mary was. And so Pastor Steve helped to bring more clarity to this distinguishing between the good and the best when he defined the good as what is not inherently wrong, what is morally okay. That's the good. It's morally okay. So whatever the good is, it's okay, but the best is what is most glorifying to God. So he really challenged us at the retreat to think through what might be a distraction in our lives, not because it's sinful, but because it's just not the best. He helped us to see that Paul, he really sets the standard high for us as Christians. We aren't just supposed to get by with what's okay to do or to think. We're supposed to look to what is excellent, what is best, what is most glorifying to God. We're supposed to move away from the mindset that says, "Why can't I?" to the mindset that says, "What should I? What should I do? What should I think? What should I say?" Because the more discerning we are, the less distracted we are from pursuing holiness. So the more discerning we are, the less distracted that we are. So that was kind of a summary of the first sermon. And then the next two sermons, which I think that most of us were referencing to, centered around idolatry. You probably heard a lot about idolatry already. And that's because ultimately, all distractions can be traced back to idols. And all idols are ultimately rooted in sin. So Pastor Steve defined idolatry as, "My covetous heart longs for something more than it longs for God. Jesus is not enough. I must have that thing, whatever it is." So if you'd like to turn with me again to Ezekiel this time, we'll be reading from chapter 14. Ezekiel 14, and we'll begin in verse we begin in verse 1 and we'll read through verse 11. Ezekiel 14, verse 1. "Then certain of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, these men have taken their idols into their hearts and set the stumbling block of their iniquity before their faces. Should I indeed let myself be consulted by them? Therefore speak to them and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, any one of the house of Israel who takes his idols into his heart and sets the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and yet comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him as he comes with the multitude of his idols, that I may lay hold of the hearts of the house of Israel who are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore says the Lord, therefore say to the house of Israel, Thus says the Lord God, repent and turn away from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For anyone of the house of Israel or of the strangers who sojourn in Israel, who separates himself from me, taking his idols into his heart and putting the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and yet comes to a prophet to consult me through him, I, the Lord, will answer him myself. And I will set my face against that man, and I will make him a sign and a byword and cut him off from the midst of my people, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet is deceived and speaks a word, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand against him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. And they shall bear their punishment. The punishment of the prophet and the punishment of the inquirer shall all be alike, that the house of Israel may no more go astray from me, nor defile themselves any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people and I may be their God, declares the Lord God." And so you've probably heard a number of times in that passage, not just the idea of idolatry, but idols of the heart. Idols of the heart. Pastor Steve reminded us that the focus of idolatry has always been upon the heart. And sometimes I think we look at Israel and think, oh, they just had these physical idols and we have idols of the heart. No, Israel had idols of the heart as well. And so that's where the battle is. That's where idols ruin us. And there were four things that Pastor Steve pointed out from this passage that idols do to us. First, they take over our hearts. Second, they distort our vision. Third, they rob us of our relationship with God. And fourth, they will eventually destroy our souls. And then he gave us this list of questions to ask ourselves to help us identify the idols that are in our hearts. And these are some of the questions that we've already been referring to earlier. There's 12 of them that he gave us. What do I love and what do I hate? What desires do I serve and obey? Where do I bank my hopes? What are my plans designed to accomplish? Where do I find refuge, comfort, and pleasure? Whom must I please? Whose love and approval must I have? What would bring me the greatest pleasure, happiness, and delight? What do I see as my rights? What do I think about? What do I talk about? What do I spend my time doing? And finally, where do I find my identity? We were challenged to be honest with ourselves as we thought through these questions. If I find my identity in my work, then my work has probably become an idol. If I must please my family, then my family has probably become an idol. If I find refuge, comfort, and pleasure in reading a novel, then that novel maybe has become an idol. Idols can be anything that takes the rightful place of Jesus in our hearts. And when we discover idols, we've discovered distractions. Because discovering idols isn't the end goal. Replacing idols with Jesus is. So that was the theme of the third sermon. It's not just how do we discover idols, which was the second sermon, but the third one was now, how do we replace them? How do we attack them? And Pastor Steve took us to Colossians 3, and he talked about putting off the old self and putting on the new, and what that looks like, and how when we take off the old self, there has to be something put on in its place. And so that's kind of where Pastor Steve went with that. He chose some examples of idolatry to help us see how to replace them with Christ. And in every category of idolatry that he took us through, there were three questions that we asked ourselves. The first was, what is an idol of mine in this category? The second, when this idol is on the throne of my heart, what am I loving more than Christ? And the third and most important was, what area of delight in Christ will weaken the desire that I have for this idol? So how can Christ replace this idol? So I'm just going to give you one example real briefly. The idol of vocation, of perhaps our work. And so in answering the first question, what is an idol of mine in this category? We might say having a good reputation, being well-liked by the people that I work with. And answering the second question, when this idol is on the throne of my heart, what am I longing for, what am I loving more than Christ? We might say that I'm loving the approval of men, or I'm loving my own success, getting ahead in my work by gaining the approval of others. And in answering the third question, what area of delight will weaken the desire that I have for this idol? It might be remembering Jesus' reputation here on earth and his reputation now in heaven. He wasn't out to please man, he was out to please his heavenly Father. And as Paul talks about in Philippians 2, he was humbled to the point of death, and then God highly exalted him. And so when I see the humiliation of Jesus and the obedience of Jesus and the desire of Jesus to please his heavenly Father, that weakens my desire to have a good reputation in the workplace. Like Jesus, my approval is not dependent on man, but my approval comes from being found holy and blameless by the Father because of the blood of Christ. When I think about Jesus' desire to please his heavenly Father, I too desire to please my heavenly Father. So that's just a brief overview of the three sermons from CTA. We were encouraged and we were strengthened in our faith and we were challenged to seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So my hope is that you too consider what we've shared even this afternoon and that these questions are profitable for you as well. What's distracted me from living for the glory of God? What's distracted me by becoming an idol of my heart in the place that only Jesus should rightly possess? And what's distracted me from seeking not just what is good or what is morally okay, but what is best, what is excellent in the eyes of God? So thanks again for all your prayers and your support through this. We really appreciated it.
I just want to read a passage from Hebrews chapter 12. You don't have to turn there, it's a very familiar one. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off, you know what it says? Everything that hinders, everything that hinders, and the sin that so easily entangles. That's two different categories. One is sin, and one is everything that hinders. The author to the Hebrews wants us to be single-minded, wholehearted in this race. So I think the question that is begging to be asked is, what is hindering me? And everyone here has said it's not something that's necessarily bad. It could be something that is just fine and good, but it's hindering you. On the last day, there's going to be a lot of regrets about things that hinder us. And I think as we push closer to that day, don't you want to come in strong? Not with a bunch of baggage, not with a bunch of burdens, not with a bunch of chains, not with a bunch of regrets. So Hebrews 12, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, all of Hebrews 11, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. On Jesus. Instead of those things that hinder us, on Jesus. Well, as we close, let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a good day you've given to us. What a good God you are. Thank you for your great salvation. Thank you that for all those who embrace Jesus Christ, they can be declared righteous and escape the judgment that is to come. And as we think about that approaching day and how short and limited our lives are, I pray then that we would throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and run with perseverance the race marked out for us, keeping our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. So, Lord Jesus, come and take over the vision of our minds and our hearts. Destroy the idols that blind us and distort our hearts and destroy us and one day would ruin us. Lord Jesus, come in great power and in great love. Show how great and superior you are to everything else that we've always wanted. And will you make us long then with all of our hearts for you? Thank you that one day we will see you and we will be with you and we will never have to leave. It's in your name I pray. Amen.